All right, time to change direction a little bit here today on the Kenny and JT Show, because we cover all things football, right? As you know, tomorrow night, high school football game of the week, number one happens. Central Catholic at Perry, our Thursday night lid lifter. Friday night, Cincinnati Moeller at Maslin. What a game that's going to be Friday night. In fact, coming up a little later in the show, Mark Elder, the head coach from Moeller, going to join us at 6 o'clock. We were out at Browns practice yesterday, and we'll have all their games for you. But right now, we want to talk some Ohio State football, because September 3rd, about a little over 2 weeks away, the Buckeyes kick off their season in Columbus against Notre Dame. It'll be number 2 OSU against number 5 Notre Dame. And to talk all about that game and how practice is going for the Buckeyes, we go to the Wake'em Way hotline and bring in the outstanding OSU beat reporter at Bucknuts.com, 24/7 Sports, Steve Hellwagon. Steve, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Well, a lot happening here football-wise. Still waiting on what's up with Deshaun Watson, and we start our high school football season tomorrow night with our coverage, Steve. But you've been covering the Buckeyes all summer long, as they are a preseason number two, consensus number two in the polls, with championship or bust aspirations this year. Is that accurate, Steve?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, at least get to the championship game. I mean, you know, it remains to be seen how all these teams are going to stack up, if it's going to be Georgia repeating or Alabama getting up there, or, you know, who it's going to be. You don't know. Clemson, after a down year, whether they're going to be back in the hunt. Oklahoma, nobody from the Big 12's really done a whole lot in the playoff era. You know, can they be the team? Or Ohio State or somebody else from the Big Ten? A year ago at this time, we thought it would be Ohio State. Instead, it was Michigan. So, you know, got to play the games to figure out who's going to be there at the end. But you got to like where Ohio State is coming off the way that the last year ended, and the improvements that it seems that they're making on defense. Perhaps this is a team that can get a little closer to that championship gold at the end of the year.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that defense, and especially two names that come to mind. Obviously, Jim Knowles, the new defensive coordinator. Tanner McAllister comes along with him. What does having a guy that's a graduate transfer that knows the system mean to this defense?
Yeah, I think it's helped them install the defense, for him to be able to explain it to his fellow players out on the field in meetings and on the sideline as they're watching things unfold, what's going on and why they're doing different things. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, Oklahoma State had a really good defense last year, one of the best in the Big 12, certainly, and I think top 20 nationally. So that was tremendous, you know, for them. And we'll see if in the first year Jim Knowles can weave some magic with you know, the returning players that are coming back. You've got quite a few guys back from the defense last year. I think it's 6 or 7 of the starters are back. And they gained some valuable experience, obviously, last year. And now we'll see, you know, you add McAllister to the mix. He's also going to be at one of the safety positions, it would seem. And we'll see if that translates into success for Ohio State. I mean, they struggled at times. Purdue was able to throw for quite a few yards against them in one of the games. And Michigan and Oregon lined up and ran the ball well against Ohio State. So we'll see if they can put it all together. You got to be able to defend both if you want to win the national championship or get into the playoff at the very least. And we're going to find out whether the improvement's real or not.
When I think about that defense, and I think about Larry Johnson's defensive line, and I start thinking about all the chunk plays we gave up in the passing game, like you just mentioned, and there's been some games that were just astronomically, you never thought you'd see an Ohio State defense give up plays like that. What will this defense resemble? I mean, if Larry Johnson's front, whatever it is, 4 or 5, whatever, can't get to the quarterback, was it a question of not getting to the quarterback with your defensive line? Are we going to blitz more with our linebackers, or do we rely on coverage? What will this defense, in your opinion, resemble?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we honestly haven't been able to go out and watch much practice to tell you one way or the other what they're going to fashion. We know it's going to be primarily a 4-2-5 with 4 down linemen, 2 linebackers, which are Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers, have kind of set themselves apart there at that linebacker spot. They've got a new linebackers coach, obviously, with Jim Knowles taking that over, and he's put his set of eyes on this spring football and preseason and settled on, it sounds like, those two guys as his starters to begin the season. And then five defensive backs, which is two cornerbacks, Denzel Burke and Cameron Brown, who both started last year. They'll be in the lineup, it seems, for the opener. And three safeties. And Josh Proctor, who was an outstanding player for him 2 years ago, is back from an injury, missed most of last year. Ronnie Hickman was the top tackler on the team last year. And as you mentioned, Tanner McAllister earlier would be the third defensive back. Or safety. So I thought it was interesting that Jack Sawyer, we interviewed him yesterday, one of the defensive ends, who's moving into a sophomore year, and you hope he can make a big leap this year into becoming maybe an all-Big Ten caliber type player. He talked about how the defense is not giving up the same number of explosive plays in preseason practice as they did a year ago. That can only be seen as a good thing. So if they're cutting that down against what's still going to be a pretty good Ohio State offense, then you got to like their chances when they get into the real games here with Notre Dame. And, you know, three of their first six games are all good opponents with Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and Michigan State in the first six. We're going to know a lot about this team after the first four, five, six games.
Steve Hellwagon, our guest, Buckeyes beat reporter at Bucknuts.com. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Hellwagon. Steve, don't know if you saw this, but I went through and looked at all 100 of them. ESPN ranked the top 100 college players in college football this year, okay? Top two, Will Anderson, I think, the outside linebacker from Alabama, and Bryce Young, the quarterback from Alabama. They were one and two, but players three, four, and seven were all Buckeyes, and C.J. Stroud, Jackson Smith and Jigba, 3 and 4, and then Trevion Henderson at 7. Paris Johnson came in at 36, but the first defensive player for the Buckeyes that was mentioned was all the way down at 86 in Zach Harrison, and the only defensive player that was mentioned. So if their goal is championship or bust this year, is that a concern that still the outside people view this defense as still the weakness of this football team?
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it. Sawyer had three sacks last year, and JT Tuimoloau had 2.5. And, you know, we keep thinking back about Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young. They all became all Big Ten, all American players in their sophomore year. And so if one of those guys can make that kind of quantum leap this year and they get solid linebacker play out of the two guys who they think are their best, you know, and get good play from the secondary, there's no doubt it's going to be a much improved defense. I would almost say that they've omitted either Sawyer or Tuimoloau from that list because one of those guys I think is going to explode this year. We just don't know, you know, who it's going to be, or maybe it's both of them. I don't know. But it would be great if those two and Harrison all had career years this coming season. But you know, that's remains to be seen, and maybe somebody else will emerge that you can't give any credit to Ohio State's defense or any of the personnel because, you know, granted they were 11-2, but it just wasn't up to snuff. And, you know, they've been playing football for almost 130 years, whatever the exact number is. And it's the first time ever they've given up 40 points in back-to-back games. It was 42 to Michigan, and then whatever it was to Utah, 45, I guess. I don't know whatever that ended up. So first time ever, you know, think about that. So there's a reason jobs come open, and it's that type of stuff that Ryan Day looked at it and said, we can't win the national championship with this type of a defense. And I think part and parcel of that was they did stray from where they needed to be in terms of recruiting for about two or three years there. It was, oh, give me the shiny wide receiver in the window, give me the shiny quarterback, and they kind of neglected, I think, getting similar blue-chip talent over on defense. And they've rectified that. Tuimoloau and Sawyer, obviously, in the 2021 class. 2022, obviously, they're bringing in C.J. Hicks, big-time linebacker, Sonny Styles, reclassified up a year. And he was a national top 25 player, so at safety, although, you know, will remain to be seen how much he's going to get to play. So, you know, to me, bit by bit, they're working to get the blue chippers back in there. And, you know, that's what it's going to take. And I think this year they're going to have to scheme people up to hold down opposing offenses in some of the bigger games.
Steve, the the reason I bring it up, I look at Alabama. They had 8, 5 were on defense, 3 were on offense, so more balance there, and they're considered the preseason number one. So you're right. It can't be worse than last year, so it's got to be an improvement for this year. So we'll see how that develops, and they'll get tested early against a Notre Dame team that had at least 3 or 4 guys in the top 100 as well in their rankings of all the players. What about practice so far this year? How much have you guys got to see practice-wise, Steve? We went out to Browns camp yesterday, and we got to see some 11-on-11 action yesterday, although they really weren't tackling. We still got to see some play. What have you guys got to see, and who has stood out from what you have seen?
Not a whole lot. We've got to watch position drills. Basically, when they invite you to come to an Ohio State practice, it's for the TV stations to get some B-roll of position drills. You're not going to watch 11-on-11. They're just not going to let you watch that. We got to watch maybe 3 series of that one day, and that's it. And, I mean, what are you going to get out of a 30-minute session? You know, to get a true value of who's going to play, what they're going to do, and everything else, you need to be there every day, you know, to see who's in the lineup every day, what they're doing with them, and that type of thing. So it's almost impossible for me to sit here making kind of a value judgment on how practice has gone. All we can do is go off the drips and drabs. And they had an intra-squad scrimmage on Saturday. It was closed. But the little drips and drabs that came out of it was the defense was much improved. They did run the ball reasonably good, although Kevin Wilson came in and wasn't happy about that on Tuesday when he spoke to the media, that it hasn't been, exactly what they want. So, you know, just little pieces here and there. Again, are they hard graders in this whole thing? Just because in some regards, the best team they're going to play is their own team that they're going against every day in practice? I don't know. But, if the offense does something great, then it's a check mark against the defense and vice versa. So, you know, you really don't know, as I said, till you get in the regular season and match up with opponents and see how your schemes hold up and see how your depth holds up and do you avoid injuries. That's one of the big things. So far, there have been a couple injuries. Jordan Hancock, a backup cornerback, has missed some time, and people thought he could be the third cornerback or even push Cam Brown for a starting spot there. It sounds like Evan Pryor, the number 3 running back, will miss the season after suffering an injury the other day. And Cameron Babb, who's been beset by knee injuries back to his high school days, wide receiver, he was selected as one of the captains on the team, even though he hasn't played much football at Ohio State. There are some reports coming out that he may have suffered another knee injury, and we just don't know exactly how severe that is just yet. So those are the 3 main ones that we've heard of so far, otherwise pretty clear.
It's amazing to me, too. It's the only level of football that I can think of that doesn't really scrimmage. You know, you can call an inter-squad scrimmage a good hard practice as much as you want, but it's not like going all out like you would if you get to face a team a little tune-up. So September 3rd, Steve Hellwagon, what is your message to the fans coming down to Columbus? Because we know it's going to be insane, for one. And for two, is it good to open up with a team like Notre Dame? I guess it's not safe to say that you're a young team anymore because guys bolt to the NFL when you can. But the thing is, what would be the message to the fans? And what do you expect from, I want to call them a young team. Is it fair to consider them a young team or not?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess in some respects you can say it's a young team. They've probably got 5 new starters on offense and 5 or 6 on defense. And I don't look for a lot of the true freshmen necessarily going to play a whole lot, but maybe some redshirt freshmen and some sophomores who haven't played a whole lot are going to get their first real taste of playing time in that game, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. Donovan Jackson, for instance, was basically used as a blocking back last year. He was a freshman offensive lineman who came in. They slapped number 41 on him, and now he's playing, the H-back, wing-back position out there trying to block for the running backs and stuff. And now he's slid into a guard spot. And how is he going to hold up, just as an example? So you move Paris Johnson, who was a guard last season. He goes out to left tackle. how is he going to do in that position? So there are a lot of questions, I think, surrounding this team kind of going into the opener. I think if you had your druthers, you wouldn't play a ranked opponent in the first game. You'd have a couple of those tune-ups like Arkansas State or Toledo first that they're going to play after Notre Dame and before the Big Ten begins. You'd rather have those. But, you know, scheduling is such a jigsaw puzzle for college football. I mean, it's not done collectively like the NFL assigns the Browns and the Bengals all these games and puts some of them on Thursday nights, and your bye week fits a certain place. There's no central scheduling component for college football. Everybody's on their own brokering deals for these non-conference games. And then, of course, the Big Ten makes out the Big Ten schedule. So that was the date they could get for a Notre Dame-Ohio State game, depending on whatever Notre Dame had going on. And that's where it'll be. Next year when they play, it'll be week three. So Ohio State will have two games with Youngstown and Western Kentucky under their belt before they go out to South Bend, presumably with a new quarterback. And, you know, the way I look at it, this one skews toward Ohio State, obviously in Columbus, and Ohio State's a 15-point favorite installed. Damn. Already for this game, which makes sense. Just with C.J. Stroud clearly head and shoulders, he and Jackson Smith and Ojigba will be clearly the two best players on the field going into the game. And now they got to play like it, obviously. But, you know, next year's game at South Bend could skew the other way because Ohio State will be going there. With my first year full-time was 95. I was part-time pro. Oh, my goodness. My first year full-time was 95. I was part-time prior to that. So I'm going to say 28, maybe. 20, yeah, I can't add and subtract very well. So 27, maybe. So it's been a good long time, and it's been a good long run. I think Woody Hayes was there 28 seasons, and he had a – I was just thinking about it today. His 28 years against my 27 years, pretty close. Not to say I have any responsibility for how they've played, but just how well the seasons have been, have gone for Ohio State. So many championships and two national championships in that run. So yeah, it's been a fun run, and I probably got a few more left in me, I would think.
I was going to say, control your anger, Steve.
You'll never see me punch a linebacker from Clemson. I don't think you'll ever see that.
Steve, who are the leaders of this team? You had an opportunity to, as you always do, go to Big Ten Media Days in that, right? And they bring, you know, so many players there from each team, but also you get to talk to some of the other players and you hear from the coaches. Who are the leaders of this team?
Yeah, that was a good question. In Indianapolis, they had C.J. Stroud and Jackson Smith Najigba, the two Rose Bowl heroes, were there, preseason All-Americans, and then Ronnie Hickman, who was the leading tackler on defense and safety. Those three guys were there. The captains were named over the weekend. And as I said, Cameron Babb, one of the leaders of the team, wide receiver, though he hasn't played much, they named him as the Block O recipient. He will have the Block O jersey this year, which kind of goes to the spiritual leader of the team. He and C.J. Stroud and Cade Stover, the tight end from up there in the Mansfield area, those three are the captains on offense. The three captains on defense were kind of intriguing as well. Tommy Eichenberg, who also played outstanding in the Rose Bowl at linebacker, he'll be one. Tyler Friday, a guy who missed all last season, defensive end, but impressed everybody with how hard he came back and attacked the offseason. He's one of them. And Court Williams, who right now is fighting with Proctor maybe to be a starter at safety, he's another one. So those are the guys they went with. They went with the guys who they feel the players voted for, who put the time and the effort, the energy and the work in during the offseason, and that's who they went with.
So because they're the captains, are they the leaders, though, Steve, right? It's one thing to be named captain, but you know this, when the season starts, when the games are on the line and that, no offense, but, you know, Cameron Babb, I don't know how much he's going to be able to help the team if he's hurt again and he's one of the leaders, right? So has anybody emerged from a vocal standpoint as opposed to just what they do on the field so far, or is that to be determined?
Yeah, I think there's a couple more guys on each side of the ball. I think Paris Johnson is probably the leader of the offensive line, and he has got obviously a lot of charisma there, and I think he's a guy that people will look to, and he's going to have to play really well if he can do a great job in pass protection and keep C.J. Stroud clean, he's going to pick people apart. They say that Smith Njigba is really not the loudest, you know, most vocal guy, and maybe that's why he didn't get voted as a team captain, even though he's a preseason All-American candidate. Zach Harrison was a captain last season, defensive end, and was not re-voted to that, but I don't read a whole heck of a lot into that. I think he is still a guy that, as we've interviewed some other players, that guys turn to. So there's some of them there. Steel Chambers is a guy at linebacker who I think can be, now that he has got that comfortability at linebacker after a year under his belt there, that he can be comfortable as a leader, and Hickman in the back end as well. So they've got guys. I don't worry about that. I think there was some question maybe about leadership last year, but I don't foresee that this year.
Steel Chambers, the converted running back, right?
Yes, Chambers had played running back his first year or two, and then moved over there last year when they needed some help.
Steve, for you, as you watch this team, right, and you get ready for this season, a lot of hype surrounding this team. The AP poll number two, the coaches poll number two. I say championship or bust. When was the last time, maybe it was recently, maybe it was a while ago, when was the last time that the expectations were this high for a team starting the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, they won the national championship in 2014 and came back, and they were either preseason one or two the following year in 2015. With all those guys coming back, Elliott and Bosa and, you know, a whole host of guys. I mean, they lit up the first round there in 2016 after that season, and it didn't work. I mean, they lose at home to Michigan State. And not only that, they didn't play well in about half the games. I mean, it was just a mess. And I just think that they did not live up to expectations that season. They only had one loss, and they beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl and missed the playoff. But, you know, it was apparent they weren't one of the three, you know, two or three best teams and didn't make the playoffs. So,
yeah.
You know, since then, I don't know. The years are kind of hard to figure, you know, which ones they were. I can't recall a year they've been ranked quite this high. I don't recall them being preseason number one recently, but always in the top five. I mean,
right.
And under Meyer and Day, they always finish in the top five, it seems. So top five in recruiting, top five preseason poll, top five postseason poll. But number one is so elusive. That is just they played for the championship, obviously, against Alabama 2 years ago and got routed. Had arguably one of the best teams the year before that, lost to Clemson, although, you know, LSU was clearly head and shoulders with Joe Burrow ahead of everybody. And, you know, how would that have gone down, Joe Burrow against Ohio State? But, you know, their defense the last 2 years has been so suspect that you can't say they're a national championship caliber team. So, you know, now if they get that taken care of this year, maybe they can make that push, get in the playoff, get to the championship game, and see what happens. That's all you can do.
Well, it's going to be a fun year for everyone that's a Buckeye fan to